pen in here, but it is so big.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Aiken City Council meeting, September 28th, 2009. And we're glad that each and every one of you are here with us. And as we go through our agenda, as we usually do, if you have any comments, just raise your hand, and at an appropriate time, we'll call on you to give us your comments. If you would, as we begin a meeting, please stand with us for our prayer and our pledge.
Let us please bow our heads in prayer. O gracious and almighty Father in heaven, we give thanks to you, dear God. We thank you for this day. We thank you, dear Father, for our families and for our city. And Father, we thank you for a reasonable portion of health and strength. You woke us up this morning. You've helped us along through this day. You've allowed us to come into these chambers to discuss the business of the evening, which is the city of Aiken. Father, you've enlarged our territory. You've enlarged us so greatly that we can't, and we don't know how much and how often to say thank you to you. God, we ask that as we discuss the agenda, that you go with us in thought and heart and guide us in every way. Continue to bless the staff and the citizens that serve, who love and care for this city daily. Again, we thank you, dear God, and bless us as we discuss your agenda for the evening. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
We would have one deletion, Mayor.
Okay.
We just received this afternoon a letter from the Seventh Adventist Church that they're asking to withdraw the application for the rezoning change. That's on the agenda tonight, so we'd be asking that you would remove that from the agenda.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
So that'd be item number, under new business, item number two.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? If not, do we have a motion and a second to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Have a second. Any other discussions? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Next item has to do with minutes. Consideration of the minutes of the regular meeting of September 14th, 2009. Do we have a motion on that?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we adopt the meeting from the previous meeting.
Second.
Okay. Was there any discussion on the minutes? If not, then show of hands, please. Okay, passage unanimously. Under old business, appointments to boards and commissions, 2009. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have one appointment to you tonight. That's Joan Saunders. It's appointed by Leslie Price. She'd be filling the unexpired term of Mary Suber in the performing arts category. A question came up the last meeting on whether or not she should be an ex officio. We do have the person from the Etheridge Center and from the Aiken Center for the Arts and the Playhouse as ex officios. This is an operation that's not operating right now. We also had the other ones as ex officios because they actually put on performances and would be renting out the facility, and we see this as something different. So at this point in time, anyways, we don't see that the person would be an ex officio, but would be an appointment within this category.
Okay, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we appoint Joanne Saunders to the Art Commission.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion on that? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item two is the second reading.
We have other appointments to make.
Oh, certainly. Sure. Are there any nominations?
Yes, I would like to renominate Derek Martin to the Recreation Commission.
Okay.
I'd like to renominate Robert Aaron to the Recreation Commission.
And the motion is to recommend for reappointment to the Recreation Commission, John Wallace.
Ross?
Wallace.
Wallace.
Excuse me. Okay.
Robert Aaron.
Okay.
And I would like to nominate Kay Shirley to continue on the Parks Commission, and Dacre Stoker to continue on the Environmental Commission.
Okay, thank you. Jenny. Any others? Okay, they will be on our agenda next meeting. Very good. And item two in the old business, the second reading public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 131 Vivian Drive. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'll read it by title only. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken, certain property owned by Stanley and Barbara Smith and located at 131 Vivian Drive, and zone the same residential single family, RS 15. We discussed this at the last meeting that the planning department at the county had erroneously allowed the combination of these properties. Some of it was inside the city, some of it wasn't. And so to correct it, they are now coming before us to annex the 0.25-acre tract that adjoins their current home, which is in the city. Council did approve this at the first reading, and this is second reading public hearing of an annexation of 2.25 acres at 131 Vivian Drive to be zoned RS 15.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is a second reading public hearing. If there's anyone in the audience would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
I just have a quick question.
Sure.
The bulk of the property is already in the city, so this is more or less a correction.
That is, it's to correct the plat that's there now.
I would move adoption of an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain property owned by Stanley and Barbara Smith and located at 131 Vivian Drive and to zone the same residential single family RS 15.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 3 is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 503 Douglas Drive. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. Again, I'll read this by title. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken, certain property owned by Stephen D. Rayner and located at 503 Douglas Drive, and to zone the same residential single-family RS 10. They are seeking city services from the city. There is a single-family dwelling unit on this property. It was unanimously approved at the Planning Commission and likewise by City Council at the last meeting. So for your consideration tonight, this is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 503 Douglas Drive under the RS 10 zone.
Thank you, sir. This is the second reading public hearing. If anyone in the audience would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we approve the ordinance to annex the property 503 Douglas Drive under the RS 10 zone. It is consistent with the comprehensive land use and transportation plan. So.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 4 is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 111 Collier Street. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. Again, I'll read it by the title. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken, certain property owned by Nell Mace and located at 111 Collier Street, and to zone the same residential single-family RS 10. About 8 years ago, City Council made the decision to add sanitary sewer to the Vineyard Acre property that's east of Odell Weeks. There's probably been about 75 properties that have annexed into the city since we put that sewer in there because they want to come to the city to seek our city services. That is the case here. The Planning Commission unanimously approved this at their meeting, and you did also at your last meeting. And so for your consideration tonight, this is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 111 Collier Street under the RS 10 zone.
Okay. Thank you, sir. This is the second reading public hearing of this ordinance. If anyone would like to speak on this one, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we adopt this ordinance on second reading to annex the corporate limits of the City of Aiken, certain property owned by Nell J. Mace and located at 111 Collier Street, and to zone the same residential single-family RS-10.
Okay, thank you. I'll second that. Is there any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 5, second reading public hearing of an ordinance to rezone property at 422 South Boundary from RS-15 to RS-S. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. Again, I'll read the title. It's an ordinance to rezone certain property located at 422 South Boundary Avenue Southwest from residential single-family RS-15 to residential single-family stable. These properties, which are in the Horse District, could be, based on the size, which in this case is 2.38 acres, be subdivided into several smaller single-family lots. The owner of the property has come to the city and would like to go ahead by changing it to RSS, guarantee that this property will always remain of the 2.3 acre size by the fact that the minimum you could have in an RSS lot is 3 acres. They already have horses there, so it works out very well for the city and for them, and they have taken a very proactive stance and making sure that this property remains the way it will be for generations to come. The Planning Commission unanimously approved this at their August meeting. Council did likewise at their last meeting, and this is for second reading and public hearing, an ordinance to rezone property at 422 South Boundary from RS-15 to RSS.
Thank you, sir. This is the second reading public hearing of this ordinance. If anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move approval of second reading of an ordinance to rezone certain property owned by Hollister Houghton and located at 422 South Boundary Avenue Southwest from residential single family RS-15 to residential single family stable RSS.
Okay. Thank
second,
you.
Mr. Mayor.
We have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Item 6 is second reading public hearing of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding bed and breakfast and meeting facilities. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, I'll read it by title. It's ordinance amending the zoning ordinance regarding bed and breakfast meeting facility. The Mueller's bought Rose Hill a number of years ago. They have asked for several changes to take place at that, the latest occurring in 2007. This bed and breakfast is under a special exception, and therefore any changes that are made will still require them to go before this Board of Zoning Appeal, so another public hearing would have to be held to ratify this. Although they have been approved as a bed and breakfast under the BZA, any changes that are made, just like it was in 2007, they'll go back before the BZA one more time. But before they can even go back there, you would have to ratify any of these changes. The changes are as follows. They would like to have amplified music till 10:30 p.m. They would like to be able to serve meals from 7:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. They'd like concerts to be held every other week, and that the New Year's Eve event to be extended until 12:30 with amplified music. A question did come up by Mr. Evans, because it also states that they can have amplified music during dinner time, and we did not feel like the amplified music during dinner time, in other words, if you allowed amplified music like we're talking about here, then you would have it every day till 10:30 at night. We're interpreting this that they're asking for amplified music till 10:30 during the concerts, the ones that are held every other Friday night. So that would be different than we would need to discuss that. Otherwise, amplified music during dinner would be just very soft music being played. The Planning Commission discussed at their August meeting, sent it on to City Council with approval on a 4-3 vote. City Council did approve this at your last meeting in September, and this is the second reading and public hearing of ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding bed and breakfast meeting facilities as requested by Mr. Stephen Mueller, as shown in Section 3.3.4.C of the zoning ordinance.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Before we go to public session, I know there's folks that want to speak on this. Let me clarify something, at least in my mind here. There's a discussion on page 102 about the three items that they're asking for. And just below that, there's a paragraph that talks about the ordinance reads that a maximum of 2 times per month for paid admission concerts, as opposed to every other. Now, I don't know how much difference that makes, but is it 2 times per month?
Currently, it's twice a month, and twice. Therefore, let's say July had 3 Fridays.
Right.
The first, the third, and the fifth. Well, currently, if it says it's twice a month, and they want to have 3 concerts because it was every other Friday, they were not able to do so.
Okay, so that's clear to everyone.
Yeah, he would be going from 24 concerts a year to 26.
Right. Okay. That's correct.
All right. Good. I wasn't clear on that. I just wanted to make sure that I was. Thank you. This is a second reading and public hearing. If anyone would like to speak on this issue, you certainly may do so. Okay. Come up. Everyone will get a chance to speak. John, you're next.
My name is Bill Fulton. I live at 121 Florence Street Southwest. I am not adjacent to the property. I'm about 2 blocks away from the property in question. I'm sorry I missed the first reading. I will explain that as I go through here just in a second. Before I begin, though, I would like to state that during my discussions with neighbors in my immediate area, there were many expressions of the good character and honesty of the Mueller family, and although I have never met them, wouldn't recognize them if they're in the room, my disagreement is certainly not personal with any of that family. On occasion, I have noted in the past music emanating from outside my home, but could not determine the source of it. I did not think to visit Rose Hill, as I did not realize that amplified music was used. After the first reading, I learned of the request by the owners of Rose Hill for a code change having something to do with concerts. While obtaining documents from the city government, I learned of previous concerts at Rose Hill. Since a concert was to be staged at Rose Hill last Friday, I was prepared to make note of any music that I could hear and determine its source. However, due to the inclement weather, the concert at Rose Hill was canceled. Therefore, I cannot state with certainty the source of music that I have heard in the past. However, if the music that I have heard in the past was emanating from Rose Hill, and I'm 2 blocks away, I can state without equivocation that I certainly wouldn't want to live next door to it. I'd like to make a few other points about the request. In various city documents, the Muellers have been praised in their efforts to keep Rose Hill a viable business. I know the Muellers must have invested a great deal of time and money in the upgrade and the operation of that facility. However, I think the city sometimes has forgotten that many of the residents just outside the downtown area have also invested large sums of money and immense time, and they hate to see their residential values decline because of business encroachment. In my opinion, this last request crosses the line. The excessive noise during what is normally a quiet time in residential areas will negatively influence prospective future purchasers. From documents obtained from Aiken City government, I noted that since February of 2002, there have been at least 15 requests from the owners of Rose Hill for changes of local requirements. Is this the last one, or is most believe? How many more, and what will they be? Also, during the past 3 months, Rose Hill has been cited by city officials for noise violations on two separate occasions. I visited several property owners in the immediate area of my home and explained the situation. At least eight did not support the proposed changes, and all eight believe that the Rose Hill business model will eventually fail. However, six thought the problem would go away with that failure. They did not want to make waves. That leaves to a clarifying question. Do current zoning and variances convey when property is sold? I think it is, but I'm not for sure. Will a corporation or a limited partnership, if this property was ever in a sale for whatever reason, will they really care about the neighbors that have put so much time and money into their private residences? I obtained a copy of the Aiken City Noise Code. I noted that prohibited noises include any that was in excess of 75 decibels, 50 feet from the source. Does this prohibition operate in conjunction with the outdoor amplification section of the Bed and Breakfast Code, or does one take precedence over the other? I don't know that either. Does the City of Aiken currently own operational noise measuring devices that will be immediately available to enforcement facilities at night? And does the City have certified operators who will immediately be available to monitor concerts if the local residents so request? If my memory holds, 75 decibels set at 50 feet is the OSHA established threshold for auditory damage. Have any tests been conducted to determine if this is the appropriate level for a residential area? I propose a test be conducted at Rose Hill using measuring devices and note the resulting level of noise at private residents in the immediate area. My last point, I will use the proposed changes to the zoning ordinance regarding bed and breakfast meeting facilities. On mine, the one I obtained from the city is on, it's page 125, a document of 14th of July of this year. I'm afraid that if we permit the changes to go forward, and if for some reason Rose Hill was ever sold, the current code, to my understanding, goes with that property. So therefore, I propose that paragraph 7 of that document be changed as follows. Subparagraph A, paid admission concerts every other week that end no later than, and my change is back to the 10 o'clock original. My comment is, by the time people have had their last drink, get to their cars, honk the horn a few times, and yell to their friends, it'll be 11 o'clock anyway. Subparagraph B of paragraph 7. Music which accompanies dining is allowed but must conclude by 10:30. And as I heard you comment a few minutes ago, you're not for sure of how that applies. When I read this, if this is the zoning ordinance for it, that opens the door for nightly concerts. My comment was, we need to have enforceable language, even if you decide that you want to have these possibility of nightly concerts to go with meals served at the facility. Music from strolling mandolins while you eat veal Oscar is much different than who let the dogs out while you're chomping tacos. And the neighbors will have to put up with that, the venue of music that's chosen for the particular festivities of the night. And lastly, paragraph C, if you read it just in layman's language, that again opens the door for multiple concerts. The only thing is you just can't charge for it. My question is, if you can't charge for the actual admission and you charge for food and drinks, you're still making a profit. I don't know how that operates. I think that one needs to really have some additional discussion before we just approve these. And like I said, I do apologize for not being here. I was not aware that we were having this as an extensive change in the area of town where I live. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bill, before you leave, you ask a bunch of very good questions. Thank you, sir. I think we need to try to answer those to for you. The first one being the conveyance of the ordinance and the policies when it's sold or if it's sold to someone else.
Yes, sir.
That is true.
It is true. I believe, and the paperwork would correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the current variance that the Muellers are operating under would allow that to transfer with the land if they were to sell the property. BZA, under state law, BZA does have the ability to limit the transferability of the variance if the BZA desires to do so. That's not something council can direct them to do, but BZA can limit it if they decide while they're hearing the variance request that they want to limit it just to the current owners of the property. If they don't specifically limit it to the current owners of the property, it would convey with the property. The variance.
Well, what would be the method for BZA to even get involved if it were just a straight sale, let's say, no changes? Ask for
when the variance is approved by BZA, a copy of the variance is put on the records at the RMC office, mm-hmm. and so a subsequent owner of the property would have notice of the variance.
Okay. Does that mean that they have to go automatically to BZA? When they buy the property?
If I sold it to you,
would you have to go?
If the Muellers sold it to me, I would have the right to continue doing what the variance says they could do.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So BZA or no other group would have the right to get involved at that point.
That's correct.
So it sounds like the answer is yes, it does convey.
Yes.
But BZA can, if the Muellers come to BZA after this, if this ordinance is passed, mm-hmm. and the Muellers decide they want to go, and Mr. Evans has already issued the opinion, they would have to come back to BZA to get this variance approved if they want to change to what the new ordinance says. Okay. If this ordinance is approved.
So if it's approved, they go to BZA.
They got to go back to BZA. At that point, whoever wants to be heard on that issue could bring up to the attention of BZA they would like for this variance to apply only to the Mueller family. And BZA would hear that and rule on that issue. If the BZA determines it's in the best interest of the city to just have it apply to the Mueller family, then when the Muellers were to sell this property, whoever purchases the property would have to come back to BZA for another variance.
Okay. All right.
It can go either way. The way it's set up right now, if the Muellers did not come back to BZA, mm-hmm. they're variance would convey with the land if they sold the property.
Okay. The next item you mentioned, Bill, was the noise level. Does it coincide with their noise ordinance? And who can answer that question? Who's best to do that? Ed or
Pete?
I'd ask Chief to do that.
Chief? Okay.
Or if you both want to come up, that's fine too.
Yeah. And the next point he made was, is there a capability of measuring this? And I assume you mean doing a concert, perhaps?
No, decibel meters.
I know a decibel meter measures it, but if a citizen calls up or something, is that what you intended, Bill?
Yes, sir. What I was trying to say was, and I don't mean this, maybe my language to be taken as derogatory, but so that you didn't call the police station at 10 o'clock and say it's so loud I can't stand it. And he said, well, I would come out, but you know, we have to have the
meters,
the umpteen other person, and we can't get him tonight, so we'll have to do it the next time. And then, you know, the next thing is, well, we don't have a licensed operator, or all the equipment is down, or we have to get the park and recreation people.
I get the idea. I understand. I think Chief Fromer can probably answer these two points.
I can tell you, we always, we always have meters there, and the people are trained how to use them. So we don't have to call anyone in. The supervisors won't really have them, and they're trained how to use them. And as far as the level we came up with, the 75, Richard Pierce did the research for that ordinance, and I'm not sure how he got the number, but that was the number that was chosen.
Have we checked it to see on occasions that that it meets, it's within the 75 decibels or whatever?
Well, to be truthful with you, when we get a call of loud music and we go tell the people it's too loud, they cut it off, they quit. So we really, since we had the ordinance, we hadn't had to use it.
We had David Turnell, that's what I was giving Pete, he sent me an email basically saying that he went there this summer, checked it, and it was within the proper range.
Okay, all right.
Sir?
Yes?
Previous experience, and like I said, it's been a long time. The 75-50 is an OSHA requirement, unless I'm very much mistaken, and it's for heavy-duty machinery. And it's where that you force operators to wear hearing protection, and you had a right to sort of impose that, and that was the rule. Now, I guess what I'm saying in 2 points is if we have an industrial standard in a residential area, I would propose that before we rush, go out there, crank that sucker up to 75 and walk across the street, or go a block away and let's see. Rather than get in too big of a rush to do this, let's find out what it is, because unless I'm wrong, that's where the 75-50 rule comes from.
Yeah, well, my understanding just a little while ago here was that it has been tested, and it was it was within range.
Well, it's within range. What I'm saying is if that is the requirement for operators of the jackhammer and for other people that are have to be 50 feet away from it, you may not want music even during a permitted concert to reach that level if you have to be that close to it. And so I'm saying there might be, I'm not saying for sure, but there may be a kind of a holdover from when people read OSHA requirements, and rather than applying that in a realistic format, which would be easy to do, you test it and you make sure, rather than you pass something that's very difficult to go back and do.
I know. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Pete,
and that number was selected. That's what other cities throughout the United States use.
Okay.
So
very
research when we came up with the ordinance.
Very good.
Right. I remember that when we discussed it. That's exactly right.
Yes, ma'am. Would you like to speak? Please come up, if you would. And just give us your name and address, please.
Yes, I'm Becky Fulton. I live at 121 Florence Street, Southwest.
Can you speak into the microphone a little bit more?
I'm Becky Fulton. I live at 121 Florence Street, Southwest. My husband, Bill. I like to walk, and I've recently started using weights, and so I've tried to be really serious about it. And I go out of my house, cross hang, take another little turn, and end up the property next to Jane Bodders and her neighbor, Maria Floyd. In that area, one night, not so long ago, probably is the last of these concerts that people could hear, since the previous one was canceled. If I had known the song that they were playing, now remind you, I am a block from Hain, and I keep going up and down the hillside a good distance and come back up to the hillside, up and down. If I had known the song, I could have sung along. That's how loud it is. When I left that area, I went back to my house, and I went in front of my house, and because of all the trees, it wasn't seemingly as loud, or I was panting so from my exercise. And I really intended for us to get in the car and go find out where it was coming from, because it was not directly town. And I had assumed the other times that I'd heard this that it was the town putting on things that I didn't know about. And you kind of let it slide. And I kept thinking, you know, this is happening too often. I don't know about this. Well, then I found out that some other neighbors had been assuming the same thing that I was assuming, that it was the city, you know, trying to bring in tourists or whatever. Well, I have to tell you, when I just heard that they might do this for New Year's or 4th of July, what was it, 12 o'clock for New Year's? That's not right. I'm going to add a little gossip in here. Do you know that some of the people actually leave on these occasions and go to whatever is open? They take their kids to the movies or whatever. Now, you know, this is imposing on people when they have to use their get-out-of-the-house money to get out in accordance with somebody else making money.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Fulton. I appreciate it. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. May I pass out my presentation to the members?
Yes, sir.
My name is John Brecht. I live at 743 Chafee Lane, Southwest Aiken, South Carolina. I have no doubt that Mr. Mueller has done a good job with Rose Hill. That fact is not in question. What I do oppose is the proposed amendment to the zoning ordinance, is the desire to have amplified concerts past 10 p.m. My opposition extends to bed and breakfasts in general and Rose Hill specifically. If one would go out just two blocks in any direction from Rose Hill, you have a grid that covers a better part of the northwest section of historic Aiken as outlined by the Old Aiken Master Plan. If you go just two blocks north of Rose Hill, you have Hampton Avenue. Two blocks to the south, you have Hayne Avenue. Two blocks to the east, you have Lawrence Street. And two blocks to the west, you have Morgan Street. That's a very, that grid covers a very large area within two blocks of Rose Hill. Many people live there and make their home there. Mr. Mueller has been before either City Council, the Board of Zoning Appeals, or Planning Commission seeking variances or other special considerations. I counted 14 times since 2002. This time last year, the BZA denied this very request to extend the hours of amplified concerts to 10:30 by a vote of 5-2. At what point do the perceived improvements afforded by these special considerations become actual detriments to the quality of life in the surrounding residential neighborhoods? I believe we are at that critical juncture. All bed and breakfast establishments, as well as all resident neighbors and businesses, should comply with the 10 p.m. time limit on noise as outlined by the Aiken City Noise Ordinance. Also, the Old Aiken Master Plan provides some guiding objectives and goals, and I'd like to call your attention to Objective 5.4. That is to encourage preservation and rehabilitation of homes and buildings which contribute to the character of the area, and explore incentives for preservation of older homes and buildings which contribute to the character of the area. Amplified concerts, I don't believe, create that incentive to have people come into the area. Goal number 7, protect residential areas from adverse impacts of non-residential uses. Non-residential uses cannot be allowed to negatively affect the character and livability of residential areas. Goal 7.1, Objective 7.1, prevent the encroachment of inappropriate uses into existing neighborhoods. And Objective 7.2, discourage the expansion of non-residential zoning districts. There must be a balance between the needs of businesses in limited professional areas and the needs of the surrounding residents. Rose Hill is special, There's no denying that. But so are the homes in the surrounding neighborhood. Many seek shelter, safety, rest, and a place to raise their family in their homes. The need for peace and quiet is universal, and the residents of Aiken no less have the right to expect that of where they live. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Yes.
Good evening. I'm David Basher. I live at 424 Greenville or Barnwell Avenue, right across from Rose Hill. I'd like to first state that the noise ordinance, whether it's 75 decibels or 70 or 50, it comes right into the living room. So the numbers really don't mean anything to me. In a military term, I'm in a hot LZ, is where I am. I have called, and upon calling, I was told, well, can you hear it in the house? The response was yes. I said, do you have to come over to do anything about it? Well, it was a languished response, and with that, I said, forget it. When the music ends at 10 o'clock, as the gentleman that was up earlier, the noise that, in effect, carries over lasted at least a half hour with people and doors slamming and general noise. Now, that impacts me because I am on the major avenue where they park, and it doesn't impact other people. My wife and I restored a home that we feel is valuable to the city at a reasonably large expense to us and with the intent of staying. I have accepted basically the fact that 10 o'clock is the standard. But there really is no reason to go to 10:30, especially when you think that the noise really doesn't go away till 11 or 11:15 if it's at 10:30. I would appreciate everybody to try to understand what the concerns of the community are with the people that are speaking to you. There is great respect for what the Buellers have done to Rose Hill. I am very worried about another concern buying Rose Hill and having absolute disdain for the desires of the neighborhood around them. And in 07, there was an approval that the land, these things all run with the land. I have a copy of that here. That concerns me. Essentially, that's all I have. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, David. Anyone else would like to speak?
Jan Smith, 193 Dogwood Road. I'm speaking probably for the fourth or fifth time in a variety of city council meetings, BZA, Planning Commission, about pertaining strictly to the noise ordinance. The whole point, or one of the points, of revising this ordinance 2 years ago was to make it consistent throughout the city. That makes it easier for public safety to enforce it. If you will notice in your packets tonight on page 102, Rose Hill stated that because downtown events go on till 11 p.m., Rose Hill should be allowed to go on later. Well, the noise ordinance, section 2234, does allow for city-sanctioned events to run past 10 p.m. if necessary. However, that should not be used as an excuse for a private business to be allowed to go later than the current 10 o'clock. Also, the noise ordinance, sections 2237, states that if it's louder than 85 decibels at the property line, no matter what time or what's going on, that is a violation. And I would like to urge that City Council deny the request to go later than 10 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Anyone else?
Steve, how are you?
Good evening. Stephen Mueller, 221 Greenville Street, Northwest. I made some notes so I wouldn't get lost, and I hope they're clear. Never did Eva and I consider that our request would seem controversial. Different categories of zoning exist, but generally you're either zoned residential or you're commercial. Rose Hills is a city block two blocks west of Lawrence Street, the same distance as Chesterfield Street is to the east. Rose Hill is zoned commercial and has four sides to it, two sides of which are commercial. Neighbors on all four sides have told us for years that they enjoy the music and the activity. If viewed from an equitable standpoint, you would consider the time music ends at other venues also, such as the Newberry Street Festival site, the Rye Pass, the Green Boundary, etc. If considered from a small business person's view, then the request, which is already a compromise from 11 o'clock, would be seen as a small request for these hard times. If viewed from the noise ordinance, you would agree that none of the above-mentioned event centers is in compliance. As a matter of fact, the Rye Patch sits right in the middle of a residential zone, and that the noise from there over the years has been brought up at the Planning Commission meetings by a member of the board, who is also a neighbor to the facility. Our friends the Bashers recently moved next door into a commercial zone across from the bus station. Since they feel that 30 minutes would disrupt the peace, Eva and I will not insist against their objection and willingly retract our request as long as they live there. But my general concern, the equitability, as we're about to open the train depot, and I'm concerned to what extent that's going to be promoted as a party music venue.
Steve, I think you say a compromise. It's a compromise from 11 o'clock. Isn't our ordinance clear? What can be 11 and what can be 10?
No, I mean, the original request that I was going to have was at 11 o'clock. But when I asked some of the neighbors, yeah, I had two that objected to 11 o'clock. And I said, well, how about we split the difference at 10:30? And both of them said that was fine. So, but I'm not going to proceed with that, you know, even if one person finds it objectionable next door. Even if everybody else tells me they like it, it's, you know, it's not worth it.
Okay.
So what are you saying? You're drawing that?
Yes, ma'am. About the, you know, stick at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
There were a total of three requests you had, right? That was one of them.
Yes, sir. Okay. That seems to get the most traction around here.
Well, I think that's true from what I've heard at this meeting and also the previous meeting.
But I'm so interested and delighted that people are concerned about music venues all over. You know, so this is a nice exercise to consider. You know, these other places also.
Okay.
But we'll willingly stay at 10 o'clock with no, you know, remorse. Happy to do so.
Oh, okay. How about outlining the other two requests that you have for everyone? And
I'm sorry. Is there three others?
I don't have my notes in front of me, but from what I recall, that when we talked about earlier about the when the ordinance was originally written, the intent was to have a concert every every other week to reassure neighbors that it wouldn't go on more than that.
Is that what the ordinance said?
No.
No. What the ordinance said was twice a month.
Okay. But what do you mean then it was originally to be?
Because when it was all being pulled together, you know, so it ended up being a technicality. As Mr. LaDuca had stated, if we do it every other week and you have to be consistent in promotions and you tell people, you know, to remember every other Friday, and then one Friday by one day, one month has one extra Friday in it, then you've technically are in violation. So what it would necessitate is communication to the public saying every other Friday except for this month, and then skip over
it. It's very clear to me. What does the ordinance say? That's what I'm asking. Does it say
twice a month.
The ordinance is a maximum of 2 times per month.
Okay, that's exactly what I'm getting to. That's what it says. So why is there a discussion about it?
Because every other week.
That doesn't matter. It says 2 times a month.
But that's why he's asking for a change.
So you're asking for that change?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm clear now.
I'm asking for the change in generally thinking that months have 4 weeks in them, you say every other week.
Okay.
But if you get hung up on an extra day.
So you're asking for a clear statement of it saying 2 times a month, period.
No, every other week.
Every other week.
It's a change.
It's a change from twice a month.
It's not clarity here. It's a change.
Right. It's a change which is the clarity. That's the only way to come up.
Two times a month is very clear, I think, to most everybody. But you're asking, and this is where I was getting a little mixed up here, you're asking for a change to say
every other
instead of 2 times, even if it's just 1 month. Let's forget
it's
20 months.
You know, it's not, you know, in some parts of it, requesting something additional. It's requesting.
It is.
Okay. Well,
Where am I wrong? Let's get back to the facts. What does the ordinance say?
Okay. I agree with anything you say. It's fine.
I don't want you to agree with anything I say.
Mr. Mayor,
let's get where it is right now on the ground. It says 2 times a month. And you're saying that, it wasn't clear and all that. But it is clear if it says 2 times a month.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, I think what he's trying to get at is he's got a business that he's running, and he wants to try to market these concerts, and it's a lot more strenuous to market a concert twice a month than it is every other Friday. And I think that's what he's asking for, to put some ease in his business so he can tell everybody every other Friday he's going to have a concert there. That's the way I read what he's saying.
All right. All I'm trying to find out and understand is, what did the ordinance say?
Twice a month, as it is.
I understand what you're asking for.
Yes, sir.
Okay. But I didn't like the words. Well, it wasn't clear. It was meant to be every other Friday or whatever. In my way of thinking, it wasn't. If the ordinance was written saying 2 times a month, that's what it says.
You're correct.
Am I correct? Is that right?
Okay. You're correct.
All right. I understand what you're asking for.
Mr. Mayor, I think they're just reading what it says now. There is also another way to look at what it says now, and that is that if he wants to do it this Friday and then it rains, then he's still got 2 more chances in the month to do his 2 concerts, and he could end up with one this Friday and one the following Friday to get his 2 in. If we leave it like it is now, I see that as a possibility, and he would be within the ordinance to do it that way, unless it says otherwise.
Well, the ordinance, if it says 2 times a month, then you could have that variation, variable ability.
I could have it on Friday and Saturday night, but my intention is never to have that much going on.
What you wanted to say is every other week.
Right.
So that you, and if it rains 1 week, then you won't have it in 2 weeks. Is
correct.
That right?
That's correct.
The other 2 changes that are being asked for here is to allow earlier time to open so that breakfast could be served. And the third one, which, as I stated, there's 4 of them here. The third one was, last year BZA gave them the ability to have amplified music on New Year's Eve to extend to 12:30 a.m. the next day. But the way we read and interpreted what BZA stated was they gave them permission for last year, New Year's Eve only. So what Stephen and Eva are asking for is that we would make that, allow that to be not just last year only, but every year to allow F-5. So that's the third change, to allow it on New Year's Eve only till 12:30, to allow breakfast to 7:30 in the morning to open up, and then to have it every other Friday. The only change that I'm hearing is that the request to allow amplified music till 10:30 p.m. Would no longer be requested, and that it would stay at the current 10 o'clock p.m.
Yes.
Every other Friday if council approves it this way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I still have a question, and the first speaker brought it up, and just I need it clarified, that's all. That paragraph 7, as it's written, mm-hmm. outdoor amplified music shall be allowed as follows, and then we talk about the every other week up until 10:30, and then by extension, outdoor amplified music shall be allowed as follows. Music which accompanies dining is allowed but must conclude again by 10. I don't think that's what you're asking for.
Just for the concerts.
Yeah, you want amplified music for subparagraph A only, and subparagraph B and C is providing amplified music for times that he's not requesting, as I read it. You're not asking for amplified music when people are dining, and you're not asking for amplified music for fundraisers for non-charitable activities, are you?
What B and C, that is currently what is allowed. B and C are everything that's not in bold is currently what is allowed. You could have B, music which accompanies dining is allowed but must be concluded by 10 p.m. That's currently in the ordinance.
I understand, but I'm hearing from a lot of folks that's amplified music till allowed to 10 7 days a week.
No, and what I stated earlier today at the meeting was the way we interpret this, because it doesn't say amplified music, it just says music. No. Must conclude by 10 p.m. And we're interpreting that that is not amplified. That would just
but,
be.
But paragraph 7 starts.
That's right.
As the whole thing is outdoor amplified music shall be as follows.
Yes, what it is.
Right.
It
and that's why we are just telling you what the way we interpreted that it, that is not amplified music.
Well, then should we add non amplified before music
that,
in paragraph
that, that'd
B?
That would be great if we could, because then that just verifies even more what we're saying. It's never come up as a question.
Yeah.
But
I certainly didn't seek any additional changes in the additional wording.
So that'd be great to put that there, Dick, non-amplified
music. Yeah, and the same thing applies to paragraph C. I mean, I want to make sure he has what he wants, but and keep in mind, I guess we're we don't have the wherewithal to say it applies only to the current owners. It has to go with the land, so.
That's actually a determination that's made by BZA.
By BZA and not us, okay. Those are the only questions I had. Paragraph 7.
Let me ask, what kind of music do you have at dinner time?
I haven't had any, you know. I had some, I had a piano when I had a piano in there.
Right.
I had some music, a Celtic band, you know, three persons playing the fiddle. Mm-hmm. It's about.
Do you serve dinner indoors or outdoors?
Indoors.
Okay.
But I mean, currently we're not even serving dinner.
Yeah.
You know, this is just trying to anticipate for the future.
Okay. Are there restrictions on him with music indoors?
No.
Okay.
No. And I may not serve breakfast either. You know, I just you know. If I had the ability to, pulling it off is the hard part. And I had the permission last year to do the New Year's Eve concert, and I didn't do it.
From a business perspective, it would be good if you could serve breakfast, because we were going to use you last Monday, but you didn't serve breakfast, so we couldn't use you.
All right. But no, just the three specific things about the every other week for a paid concert, serving breakfast at 7:30, and a New Year's Eve concert or party until 12:30.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, what I'm hearing Mr. Mueller telling council, he would be agreeable to a modification to the proposed ordinance where in all instances in paragraph 7, where the Planning Commission has recommended a change to 10:30, that would stay at 10 o'clock. And then in paragraph 7B, I think what I'm hearing council talk about is the word non-amplified would be placed at the beginning of paragraph B. Mm-hmm. So it's clear that no amplified music would be allowed outside during dining. And I believe
The amplification there, see, sometimes, you know, there's a guitar player and he has a little amplifier on there. So it becomes a technicality. I'd prefer for it to stay just like it did without involving any necessary problems. If there was a complaint or an objection, you know, I'd certainly respond to it.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I wouldn't disagree with that. That's indoor to anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's clear where they're focusing on the.
And I would be with Roger. I would not interpret what I just said to affect what you just said, because you're talking about the music being played indoors.
Leave it like it is.
And paragraph 7 only deals with outdoor music.
Well, regardless of where they dine, I mean, I may dine in the garden one night. There might be a birthday dinner, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the circumstance is, but I'm not going to have any loud, raucous music like the ordinance says that you're going to hear it from a public right of way or anything like that, and particularly while people are dining. You know. I just don't want to invite anything else that could potentially obfuscate things. Leave things like they are and just decide yes or no about the three issues.
Good.
And I retracted the fourth one, just yes or no. And I'm happy with what your decisions are.
Okay. Well, Stephen, I think we've shared in previous instances our desire to help you as much as possible be successful in Rose Hill, and we appreciate what you and Eva have done there in the restoration and the efforts in which to make Rose Hill profitable. And I think you've still got that sentiment with City Council tonight. However, we get to a certain point to where we adversely affect some of the residents, and that's something that we can't do.
That's why I backed off. I didn't, even if it was 1 in 100,
right,
I wasn't going to ram anything down someone's throat.
If this is something that you can live with and something that the residents can live with, then I think that's where we need to be.
I have a question. Can we, under 7, do A and C with the statement of leaving it at 10 o'clock, but make C B, have C B, and make B a standalone item that says outdoor music which accompanies dining is allowed but concluded by 10 o'clock, period. You understand what I'm saying? Jane, you look puzzled.
Say that. Would you mind repeating that, please?
Where C is.
Okay.
Make that B. Because it relates to A and C are related.
Okay.
But B, make B a standalone item and make that, we'll have to change our numbers. Change that to, let's say, 8. And you'll have 8 will be 9, 9 will be 10. But have B to say outdoor music, which accompanies dining, is allowed, but concluded by 10 o'clock. It's not amplified, it's just outdoor music.
Well, now.
that's what you're saying.
You're talking about the
music
new,
is not
the,
amplified, is that
the
right?
New
I think those are different issues. Like the mayor had brought up, the ordinance was written, it was clear. It said this and it said that. So now we've got three issues on the table just to decide if we want to accept or turn them down. That's how I feel, without considering anything else.
Yeah. Okay, I'm confusing it more than...
You know, it gets more confused. Just take the three issues that we tried to make clear and just, you know, just vote yes or no on them.
I understand what you're saying, and so far, I don't believe Tommy Paradise, who controls these different things, or Ed Evans, has had a problem with 7B. But if we do start having a problem with 7B, we could always bring it back to City Council for clarification and changes. But right now, it's working fine.
And right now, B is outdoor music, but it's not amplified. Mm-hmm. Didn't ask, is that the...
No, I'm not bound up on, you know, the specific parts of it. I was just thinking about the issues that we were going to talk about tonight. I mean, I don't recall the specific wording. I don't have it in front of me. I just know that when you start talking about these things, it all kind of gets turned around in circles.
Mr. Mayor, there was another hand out there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr.
I have a point of clarification.
Well, you're going to need to come up here.
Right now,
no, can you Jan, come up and talk
Jan,
the thing?
Jan, please come up to the mic so everybody can hear you. And
we want to get it recorded for posterity.
I think Mr. Basher had his hand up, too.
Yeah, Jan Smith. I think what's confusing is right now, as far as I understand, there is no outdoor dining except during the concerts. Is that correct?
Right. I mean, food's inside.
Right. So you don't want to change B.
Okay.
It needs to be left as it is. It's just, as Mr. Dewar said, you might want to say non-amplified. Right now, there's no outdoor music while people are dining, so you do not want to change it.
And I'm not recommending we change it, but all I did was add the word outdoor.
No, you don't want to add outdoor amplified music to dining. That's B.
My point here is that it is under the 7, which is under amplified.
Right. If it could be separated out to an 8, but don't add the words outdoor amplified
okay.
music for dining.
I see what you're saying. Mr. Basher?
Yes.
Mayor?
Yes. Yes, sir.
David Basher, I would absolutely like to see non-amplified be put in front of B. Going forward, since this very well may be granted over with land, that's just one more thing we have to deal with weddings or if patio dining occurs or something else. If it's amplified, it becomes an issue. And if the intent by Stephen and his mom are not to use it as amplifying, let's make it clear that it's a non-amplified situation, please. Thank you.
Well, I would just make a comment. I guess I was the one that opened Pandora's box, and I'm sorry for it, but there are people that can play guitars, as Mr. Mueller has pointed out, indoors and frequently do, and very technically, they have an amplified guitar. Now, an amplified guitar can be played reasonably quiet, and then on the other hand, I can turn certain TV channels where they'll knock me out of the room. So I think we probably have to give some credibility to what he's done and how he's interfaced in the business as he's run it. I'm not trying to speak for him, but I wouldn't want to tie his hands that much, and I hope you'd agree that amplification could be low-keyed or knock your socks off.
Yes, it can be, and that's exactly my point. It can be.
Yeah.
If it's non-amplified, I would think it would be guitars or strings of other natures.
They don't
need to be amplified. You're talking about an intimate, closed area with a half a dozen tables, maybe.
I was just making almost a follow-up to what the city manager said. We haven't had a problem so far, and if we do, we can certainly bring it back. But I understand what you're saying.
Well, while you're bringing it back, people are dealing with it.
I understand.
I'd like to see it added myself. If you're talking about eating inside,
your facility, your wonderful building. I don't see.
Currently, I have no dining.
Yeah, but if you did, and we've all been in there many times, and of course, what you've done, Steve, you and Eva, is wonderful. There's no doubt about that. You know that. You know that we know that. But if you're talking about eating inside and having some music, your area is not so big that you need any kind of amplification, I think.
But I can't anticipate, you know, this. It's just, first of all, I don't know the wording that you're all looking at. Second of all, you had said the ordinance was written and it was very clear about the two times a month, so I'm in agreement with that. Roger says that we haven't had a problem. If we do have one, we can come back to face it. I don't know where I have the dining. I'm just trying to keep it clear on this, is just to have an up or down load.
I just hope that if you're having outdoor dining and you want to have an electric guitar that somebody could play, that they could play it in a soft way. I don't know. That's,
I'm not going to have you.
I mean, you can't play an electric guitar without a little bit of an amplifier, right?
But if I'm telling people you could come to a restaurant and anticipate what the ambiance is, and then, you know, you're going to have come to Rose Hill and I'm playing, I don't know what they refer to it as, Get Your Dogs Out or something. It just doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to do anything objectionable, first to customers, more or less to neighbors, or to myself.
And that's kind of where I come down. You're going to have nice music, whether it be violins or something very
no,
nice.
No, but you're always, if you invite changes, you invite more interpretations and more problems. And this is what we've seen over and over and over. So I came here today to ask for four things for a vote. If there are other problems, I'm willing to submit or change to anything up and down the line, to anything to make the city or neighbors happy.
Well, let me just say this, and I said it at the end of last meeting when I voted in favor of this to go to second reading. I said I'm very concerned, and we all are, about our citizens. Our citizens come first.
Absolutely.
As far as I'm concerned. We try to help our businesses as much as we can, but we're not in the business, I don't think, to make sure they make the best profit, the most profit, they have everything that they can to make more and more and more at the expense of our citizens.
No, that's a straw man. That would never occur.
And I see no problem with having non-amplified in that B. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and Mr. Basher made a point. He says, well, yeah, we can bring it back, and how long is it going to take to get through the process and what have you to make a change if we decide to make a change?
And you could bundle it with other considerations at the time.
If you're inside dining, I don't see any reason personally, and I've been in there dining early on, years ago, why you would need any amplification if you've got strolling guitars or violins or whatever. You might even have some very nice recorded music in that you play.
That's right.
And I don't
people
consider
will be
that dying, amplified.
People dying indoors and out.
Well, that's the question. I mean, recorded music has speakers, so is that amplified music?
Well,
I mean,
I think we're going a bit too far now.
That's what I was afraid of.
Well, could I make a statement? I live downtown, on the west side of downtown, where you live, and where Mr. Breck lives, and where Mr. Basher lives. And I just want to thank all of you three, because our whole neighborhood is better because of all the improvements that you have done. I think your property, Mr. Basher, is probably more valuable because Rose Hill is gorgeous now. When it wasn't gorgeous, that was a terrible thing. I think your property is better off because Mr. Basher's home looks so beautiful. I really do. And I appreciate that. And I think my property is more valuable because of what you have done, even though I live three blocks away, if that's what we're talking about. I also want to say that this is my interpretation. I think there have been 15 or 14 or however many requests, because at the very beginning, Stephen was taking baby steps. We were very scared about what this was going to do, like you said. We were very worried about neighbors and all of that. And that's why baby steps were taken. I appreciated at the time what I interpreted as your restraint in not asking for all kinds of stuff. Now, that was just my interpretation of it. But the other thing I have to say is I live on Hain, I honestly have not heard this music. But then I can hardly hear, I don't think I could hear it because of the cars going by at 70 miles an hour at 9:30 at night. That's the noise in our neighborhood. And I bought a house on a busy street. We bought a house on a busy street. I knew it was going to be there. I figured that out, you know, and a part of this is because I've always lived on busy streets. And I just expect a certain noise level. If I live downtown or on a busy street, I don't expect perfect quiet all the time. But, and I kind of like music every once in a while if I can hear it. But I do have to say that I haven't heard the music from your place. I find it kind of pleasant when one of our neighbors is having a wedding at their house and they have music. And I don't know. That just makes it, I think it's neat. But on the other hand, I'm not living across the street like Mr. Basher. So I'm very sensitive to what he said, and I appreciate your saying 10 o'clock is going to be okay. I appreciate his saying that he can live with that. And I think we need to go on and thank all of you for what you've done.
There was a big NBC report on the TV just, I think, last week, and they had Ms. Boner, who's the neighbor right across the street, and the headmaster of the prep school, and she, you know, she was just glowing about how she enjoyed the music. But that's just one person.
I know.
But I get that for years from everybody. So that's why I was saying that I don't try to pull anything off I get this honest feedback all the time. But if one person finds it objectionable, well, so be it. You know, it's not necessary for me to disrupt their lives.
Well, I think we're hearing a combination of things, and I've heard a combination of things from the neighbors with some object. Some say they have no problems with it. So it depends on what you're accustomed to in terms of whether it bothers you or not. If you're accustomed to peace and tranquility, it's no problem. If you've got 100 kids running in and out of your house and grandkids and everything, it's no big deal, which is the neighbors opposite as you travel north, headed toward Hampton Avenue. I'd like, if there are no further...
Well, let's see if there's anyone else who would like to speak on this issue. We're still in the public hearing phase. Does anyone else would like to speak? If not, it's back to City Council then. Okay. Do you want to make a motion? I think we may need to consider these one at a time. I don't know. I don't know how people are thinking, of course. But I'd hate to see somebody vote against something or for something, you know, but not agreeing with something else. How does that sound? Does that make any sense?
With that, Mr. Mayor, if we're going to vote on it one at a time, I'd like to move that we keep the amplified music at the remaining time of 10 o'clock and not change that at all. And that's A.
That would not require a vote since it's already, you're not changing.
It's already
okay.
10, so
okay.
That.
So that remains.
Yeah. So the first one that would require change, I guess, is number one on our list here, paid admission concerts every other week. And do you want to make a motion on that?
You were saying, I didn't hear what you...
The first item here, have a paid admission. Are you looking at page 102? 102.
No, I'm looking at another sheet here.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor,
There may or may not be any difference in our votes on any of these issues, but if there is, at least it gives a person an opportunity to vote one way or the other. We can do it any way that council wants to do it.
I'd like to move that we allow him to have a paid admission concert every other week.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on that? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay.
The other item is I'd like to move that we allow him to serve his meals at beginning at 7:30 with breakfast.
Okay. All right. I'll second that. Any discussion on that item? Not show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. And then the last item is the
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. Moving to 12:30. Do we have a motion or second on that one?
I so move that be allowed at 12 till 12:30.
Second, sir.
Okay. Any discussion on that one? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Well, we didn't have any differences, I guess. Okay.
Good.
So that's the end of that issue.
Mr. Mayor,
was there anything else that we had on that issue?
I would like to mention something else on that issue. I live on the north side of town near St. Gerard, and that's about, as the crow flies, maybe about half mile from Aiken High School Stadium. But, you know, actually block by block, it's a little further than that. And every Friday night, you know, we can hear the band, and especially the drums. We can hear cheering. We know when they're winning or losing when we're not at the game because we can tell by the sound of the crowd. And it didn't occur to me that that was noise. I always considered that just a part of being in a viable city that's got life in it. And then here recently we've had tent revivals. Now that is a different thing if you've not had one near you, because when the preacher gets started, I'm not sure that it's just 75 decibels. I think it might go a little over that, but you know, I've never complained, and neither have my neighbors complained about that. But all of those things to me add to the some of the surprises in life, and some of it could be very pleasant. I mean, you know, but if you like music, I think you like music. If you don't like noise at all, I think those are the times when you probably will be annoyed by it. But there is noise all over this town, and I think most people just accept it for what it is, and that is that it's life going on, it's life happening, and it attests to the fact that we have a viable city and that we have activities going on.
Mm-hmm. Let me add something to that, which caused me to smile a bit. We recently had two fine people in our community to attend our worship services, our church, and Don Wells and Liz Stewart, and I'm sure they enjoyed the music with the amplified guitars, and the sound was quite pleasant with the harmony that comes with that. So it depends on your setting and your taste as to what you enjoy. And we have that version every Sunday, so come and hear us.
I agree with what everyone has said here. Beverly, I agree with what you just said. I think that this is a totally different issue, however, because this is something that goes on month after month after month after month. It's not like the band playing for three or four football games or something like that.
It's not.
So I'm very concerned, and I know we all are very concerned about our citizen. And again, Steve and Eva, Steve, you know how much we've supported you, obviously, and the neighbors that support you as well, because we had not had a complaint, I don't think, come to council before this subject came up. Even with, you know, as some of the things perhaps citizens don't like right now that live right around there, but it's been, you know, long, we haven't had any complaints or any dissension or whatever you might want to say, disagreements, until this particular subject came up. And now we're hearing some things. But we're all very sensitive to our citizens that live in that area. And I just hope that everything can be kept down within the ordinance and the decibels and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure you'll do the best you can. And we all want to continue to support you at Rose Hill, certainly. Y'all have done a magnificent job. Okay, moving right on then. New business, item one's first reading of an ordinance to annex property on Linwood Drive. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'll read it by the title. It's ordinance to annex the corporate limits of City of Aiken property located at 134 Linwood Drive, is zoned the same residential single-family RS-15. The owners of this property are contiguous to their backyard and would like to receive city services. The Planning Commission unanimously approved this. And so for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 134 Linwood Drive under the RS-15 zone.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
I just have a... I'll move, but I have a comment. I move approval of first reading of an ordinance to annex the corporate limits to the city of Aiken, certain property owned by Charlotte E. and Nicholas H. Kuhn III, and located at 134 Linwood Drive, and to zone the same residential single-family RS-15.
Okay, I'll second that. Okay, Dick, go ahead.
My question is, and this comes from the Aiken Estates Homeowners Association, is sewer lines already installed on Linwood?
No, they are not.
They are not. So if...
So in other words, if they annex into the city and they needed sewer service, it would be at least 3 to 5 years before we could provide it.
Okay.
And that's pretty much what we've told people in the past when they annex into an area that we don't provide sewer right away, that but once annex, we can start looking at it somewhere down years from now.
Do we periodically survey neighborhoods to gauge how much support there is for coming into the city if sewer lines were installed, and to the point where, as you and I have talked in the past, where we'd do it if we got a certain percentage of people that wanted to come in?
It's probably been 5 years since we've done that. The planning department has gone in certain neighborhoods in the past when we've had several people saying that they wanted it. One person, no, we have not.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Go down to item 3 on our list here. First reading of an ordinance to approve the use of Lancaster Street for Aiken Golf Club parking. Mr. Lewis.
Yes, sir. And again, I'll read it by title only. This is the first reading of an ordinance authorizing Aiken Golf Club to construct a parking place in a portion of the right-of-way located on Highland Park Drive in Lancaster. For those that may not have realized that Lancaster Street right-of-way actually goes all the way down to the railroad track, so therefore, theoretically, it's city property, and any improvements made on that city property would need permission of City Council. So a portion of the formalized parking lot that the Aiken Golf Club would like to install would need to be approved by City Council. This came before the Design Review Board in their July meeting. At that meeting, they approved it unanimously. However, Larry Morris, our Public Works Director, did not have an opportunity to meet with them and to discuss particular aspects of this design. He has not had that opportunity and feels very confident that the stormwater and the type of parking lot improvements would be an asset to this area and actually improve the area, not take away from it. And so he enthusiastically supports this, and we are now bringing this before you with our recommendation. And so this is first reading tonight of an ordinance to approve a parking lot design as submitted by Aiken Golf Club for the area on Lancaster Street, south of Highland Park Drive.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, is the only golfer on the council, I think. Not a good one to boot. I would move approval on first reading of an ordinance authorizing the Aiken Golf Club to construct parking places in a portion on the rights of way located on Highland Park Drive and Lancaster Street.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. That's the end of our agenda. We do have an executive session to talk about a contractual issue. If council votes to go into executive session.
Mr. Mayor, I move we go into executive session.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. We'll hold up right where we are. Yes. Ed, go ahead.
I'm Ed Giobi. I live at 541 Grace Avenue, southeast in Aiken. I would like to bring the council's attention to a bill that was passed in the legislature in June. As reported in the Aiken Standard on the 8th of September of this year. As reported by the Associated Press, it was titled Contractors with Empty Homes Get New Tax Break. Lawmakers passed the tax break earlier this year then overrode Mark Sanford's veto. The governor opposed the bill, saying in the veto message that the homeowners who live in their houses already shoulder enough of this tax burden. Quote, in short, taxpayers provide financing in support of residential development and will now be asked to maintain more of it because homes are not sold. I think this raises a substantial issue that I think council and every city of Aiken and every city and taxing authority in the state of South Carolina should be aware of and should be concerned with. First, what will be the amount of revenue loss to the city and certainly to Aiken County? Number two, why should counties and municipalities bear the burden of loss of revenue? If the state wishes to extend this tax exemption, why shouldn't they pay for it? Number three, this is a prime example of special interest legislation imposing an unfunded mandate and a violation of the principle of a home rule. In Aiken, we are committed to the principle that development should pay for itself and not be subsidized by the general public. Number four, the contractor in question who sponsored this legislation states that, quote, he is writing a check for nothing, end of quote. If those houses are broken into or catch fire, are you willing to be exempt from all municipal services? Five, where is the equity for ordinary homeowners who own an unoccupied house which is unsold? Don't they deserve the same tax break? Number six, what is the rationale for the exemption? To save jobs, create economic stimulus, or simply to provide a special interest reward? Number seven, by imposing further hardship upon municipalities and homeowners, this legislation may very well have the perverse effect of causing either a decrease in services at the local level and or an increase in taxes. Number eight, as long as the present legislation remains in force, contractors and developers should be required to pay any and all exempted tax payments upon sale of the property and should be a first lien on the property in order to protect the taxpayers. Further, by favoring a narrow group of taxpayers, this bill raises questions of whether this bill violates the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which provides for due process and equal protection under the law. Now, you all may recall that we had a long, involved, somewhat at times contentious discussion on the TIF legislation, and council in its wisdom and the county decided that they would not pass that legislation. But again, this bill essentially provides for public financing for private, for-profit real estate development. Now, I don't know, I believe that under this bill, these contractors and developers have until the 30th of this month to file. I don't know if anyone's filed yet or what the extent of that will be. But certainly, at this particular juncture, in principle, whether it's $15 or $15 million, I think it bears scrutiny and to determine what the effect it will be on the city. Furthermore, even if it has a slight effect, which the legislature apparently felt, what will be the effect in future years once we get through this current economic downturn and we see an upsurge in building, and this legislation remains on the books? At what point will that have a detrimental effect on our tax revenues? And why should one class of taxpayers benefit from a tax exemption which every one of us will have to make up? I think it's something council should be aware of and should monitor very closely. So I don't know if you have any questions. The bill is H3018.
And it did pass?
Passed unanimously, or virtually unanimously, by both houses.
Was that a voice vote?
I'm not sure. I had to guess. I probably.
In fact, the legislation was passed. It was overridden. It was vetoed.
That's right.
It was overridden, and all members of the Aiken delegation agreed with the bill, except one, Senator Ryberg, I think, didn't agree on the override.
Well, no, he voted. Well, I spoke to Greg Ryberg and Tom Young. They both voted for
the override.
I believe so.
And the bill. Yes.
I think it's a serious issue that may, as I say, may not be a substantial, and might have a substantial effect on our tax revenues at this point, but I think if it's, it's like anything else. If it's on the books and at some future date comes back to hurt us, it should be considered, but I see in principle, I think this is a very, very bad piece of legislation, which could have a detrimental effect on the tax revenues of the city.
Good point. What's the bill number again, Ed?
301H?
Right, oh, it's H.
3018.
Ed, could we get a copy, I don't know if anybody else wants it, of your points you made there?
I'll provide you.
Would you?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a lawyer, but Mr. Smith may have an interpretation of this. As there is a serious constitutional issue, there may very well be. In these times, I'm sure there's a constitutional issue in virtually everything. But
and, you know, in relation to this, too, I was just at the municipal meeting last week where they spent almost the whole time talking about this point of sale legislation that is the first thing that's going to hit the legislature in January. And the municipal people were insistent that we realize what that will or will not do to our tax revenues. And in fact, they were meeting that afternoon with Greenville and were trying to sort of have a template of how a municipality could figure out what the various provisions of that bill meant. And to be, these both are, I mean, it's all about the revenue that's ultimately going to come to the city of Aiken from property.
Well, I think there are very many issues here.
Yeah.
I think, again, the whole issue of an unfunded mandate being fostered upon any municipality. Secondly, if the legislature thinks this is a great idea, why don't they pay for it? Why do they expect every taxing authority in the state of South Carolina to pick up the tab? Plus the inequity. There are houses all over Aiken. You can drive around virtually any section of Aiken and see many, many unoccupied homes. Why should those homeowners not be able to be advantaged by not having paid tax as opposed to contractors and developers? That I find rather difficult to equate in terms of equity.
This must have come up, you know, without much publicity at all.
I'm sure it did.
I didn't know a thing about it.
I would think that this would be an issue, Mr. Mayor, for the Municipal Association to investigate.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I think it raises an issue that maybe at a soon-to-be work session, we ought to be talking about some of the things that are going on at state, because there's a few significant ones. We ought to know precisely how the point of sale, which is supported by the Municipal Association, is going to financially affect us. We also have a track commission that's been meeting that now is going to be subject to final approval by the state, state House and Senate. That's going to look overall at all of the tax. I mean, we've got a terrible tax system in South Carolina.
That's what we've all wanted for years and years and years.
And I think it might be appropriate for us to consider a voice of Aiken City Council's position on this.
I've given
Roger a package that I hope will come to the council on some changes to legislation regarding criminal justice that I think are very important that we'll talk about. But the day where we can just let the state do it to us, I think, is gone by the side. We've got to let them know what we think on these issues.
Councilman Dewar makes a very good point. The state, as you probably know, we have hundreds of millions of dollars of sales tax exemptions. And yet, we now have, we just experienced a $700 million deficit at the state level. This kind of legislation does nothing to help that. It only causes further problems and puts a further burden on our counties and municipalities within the state in a time of economic stress. And I see it as a question of, it's a special interest piece of legislation, and I think council would be well within its rights and well within its scope to investigate it. And if it felt that this was something that was going to have an effect, even if it doesn't, even if it has a minimal effect on City of Aiken's tax revenue, we don't know at some future date how much this could impact this. So I think it's incumbent upon council to take a stand on it and let our legislators know how you feel about it.
Thank you. Thank you, Ed, very much. Does it,
Does each one get this weekly information from on the internet?
Yes, yes.
Right. Municipal Association?
Yes.
Okay. Leslie, you get it, I'm sure.
I do.
The weekly information?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Because that talks about point of sale this particular time.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
And others. Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Going into executive session? Okay. Patrick, you're not. No. Back in session, we had a discussion of a contractual issue. No decisions, no commitments were made by council, and the issue will be on a future city council agenda at a later date. So we are adjourned from that meeting. Okay.